Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Very pleasant. Good afternoon. Welcome to the end of the week, the month of June about to evaporate on us. And we thank you for joining us of what we think is going to be a fantastic program today. Many, many guests. And we think we have a pretty much every base covered today. We hope you'll stick around. Let's start with a couple of headlines that are particularly interesting as the move back toward college football continues. Morehouse College, the alma mater of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., has canceled all fall sports, including football, because of COVID-19 risk concerns. Yes, they're a small athletic department, but look for more smaller athletic departments to go this route. The testing, the contact tracing is just going to overwhelm some athletic departments. Meanwhile, Yahoo, Pete Thamel, he was with us Monday with a headline, "With a pandemic nightmare looming in the fall, college leaders can still save the season." He's quoting several people in the article saying, "No way we have a full season. Some are doubting whether we'll have any season." He suggests we have a spring season instead. We can chew on that throughout the next 4 hours. Meanwhile, Lane Kiffin and the entire coaches staff from eight different schools went to Jackson yesterday. And by the way, there is movement late today that the state legislature could vote tomorrow to take down that flag. Lane Kiffin with some strong comments.
It's extremely important to our university, to all of our students, especially our student athletes that we've been in communication with. It's very important to them. So anything we can do to help support them, and I think it has a lot to do with the future of the state programs. In the state, I think you're going to deal with kids leaving the state or not wanting to come because of this.
Who had Lane Kiffin in the office pool as a change agent? But that's exactly what he seems to be doing, as many of his colleagues. And we'll talk to a coach who was down there yesterday at the Mississippi State Capitol. Let's talk about what we're doing today. And the head women's coach at Ole Miss will join us here in just a couple of minutes. Stephen Godfrey with some comments. He wrote an interesting piece about Mark Stoops the other day, the forgotten coach. Chris Doering with an important message. You may not know. He'll be with us at the bottom of the next hour. Will Gordon fired a 62 today in Hartford, the Vanderbilt University player who was the star of the SEC last year. Stephen Reed, the mayor of Montgomery, Alabama, used to be was the birthplace of the Confederacy. He's the first African-American mayor there, and he will join us, as well as Scott Hamilton, journalist about the upcoming season and some possible changes ahead. Your phone calls as well at 855-242-7285. We really look forward to spending the next couple of hours with you. And let's begin with James, who starts us off in Alabama. Hello, James.
Oh, Paul. I'm having some issues hearing you, brother. I'm not sure what's going on there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, it sounds like you're in a pipe.
Yeah, we have we've been undergoing some audio issues, but we hear you loud and clear.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'll try to refrain from yelling and screaming. I caught Victoria Jackson yesterday, and I don't watch a lot of Saturday Night Live, but I couldn't help but flashing back to Victoria Jackson from SNL. Do you recall her?
Yeah, that's who. So the truth is, you didn't take that interview seriously now, did you?
Did I take it seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the lady was serious in the points that she was attempting to make. It's just that she was talking out of both sides of her mouth.
I think she managed to cover every part of her mouth. Yes, I agree.
Okay. Oh gosh, I had two other things I wanted. Oh yes, the new temperance movement on the campus of Florida. Have you heard about that?
I have not. No.
My understanding is to cut down on the let's say call it co-mingling down there on the campus and to retard this virus issue. They're banning sales of alcohol.
I had not heard that. Anyway, thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. Ed is in North Carolina. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you very much.
I talked to you about a week or so ago about you know what it's going to look like for college football and attendance. I read something today that Phil Fulmer said that they're going to fill the stadium.
Well, hold on. That's not exactly what he said. I read that article. Phil said that he is. You know, we're going to start out being hopeful that we're going to fill the stadium. I want everyone who reads an article, who listens to an interview, who sees something on social media. Anytime you see a commissioner, a football administrator quoted, make sure you look for the qualifiers, the hopeful, expected. I mean, I will admit they're all driving me crazy because there is no chance that a stadium is going to be full on opening weekend.
And I understand that. I tell you what's going to happen. If campuses open back up with students, there's going to be an outbreak. There's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's
going
to
happen. Absolutely.
And when it does happen, parents are going to want their kids home.
Yeah,
it's
really frustrating right now because you want straight answers and nobody's giving you straight answers. And I asked somebody today why can't they give us straight answers? And the explanation, Ed, was that they can't afford to. Right now, everybody.
Yeah.
Has to get this college football season going. They have to get college students on campus because of the money. And if you start saying we may not be able to do it, it's going to create a firestorm. So I think everyone is going in hoping and saying things affirmatively. I don't know that many people inside the bubble who really believe what they're saying, but they're saying it nevertheless.
Yeah, I still think they ought to do classes online to avoid that situation.
Well, to me, students on campus is far more difficult than college football. College football can be managed
right.
To a point. It will be difficult, but it could be managed. You can't manage 20, 30, what is, who were we talking to the other day?
I think Tennessee's like 35,000.
Yeah, somebody's got, I mean, there's like a, you know, some, I think Ohio State has 50,000 students on campus. Not happening.
Yeah.
Can't happen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Paul, I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll make sure I read the article better next time.
Please. Yeah, no, I had somebody send me that and say, can you believe what Coach Fulmer's saying? I said, yeah, I know what he's doing. He qualified it saying, listen, we want to start off. It's easier to go one way to the other than the other way to full. The governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, said a couple weeks ago that he expects the entire stadiums to be full for the NFL and college football, and right now he's in the process of shutting part of his state down. That's how serious some of the outbreaks are. Not all of them, but some of them. Let's check out next Pat, who is in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I want to talk about state flags, but first, have you heard anything out of Athens about Georgia college football? I've heard absolutely nothing.
Well, I've heard plenty behind the scenes. What are you looking to hear about?
Well, I mean, they're not making the headlines.
Well, there's Pat, there's really not much to say right now. Everyone is battling through these voluntary workouts. I mean, I've heard some speculation down there that they're trying to get another quarterback eligible, but I won't mention his name. I'm not sure he's.
Okay.
I don't know if he's completely registered yet.
Okay. No, that's fine. I hadn't seen anything on my radar.
Well, Pat, it's difficult to have substantive conversations about the season right now. I mean, I think we're 2 weeks and 2 days away from the scheduled start of SEC Media Days.
Okay. Let me talk about state flags first.
Okay.
And Georgia, this is how Georgia changed its flags. In 54, the state legislature adopted the Stars and Bars.
Right.
In May of 2003, the state legislature got rid of it and adopted the flag that we have now. Roy Barnes was a one-term Democratic president governor when that happened, and he was replaced by the next year by Sonny Perdue, who was a two-term, the first Republican governor since Reconstruction in Georgia. The reason the flag was changed was probably all of the Fortune 100 companies said they would boycott Atlanta and the state of Georgia, plus all of the social organizations were in favor of changing the flag. So it was an economic decision that was made by the state of Georgia. There was a referendum on the flag shortly before 2003, and it failed. So I suspect Mississippi may have to go through the same thing. I'm interested in what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I think right now, the future of the state of Mississippi from an athletic standpoint and a commerce standpoint is on the line. If the state legislature votes to continue the flag, I think there will be a bailout of that state to a large degree. Anyway, we'll take a break. Much more to come as we continue here. Many, many guests, as we told you. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. A couple of guests starting to make their way in here in a few minutes. Let's get to Ricky first up in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, Paul. I thank you again, man, for your platforms you're giving for the Christians and the right people that believe it, you know, different than the complete left crazies. But I just want to say that I believe if people read about the history of the black slavery, you realize that there was over 100 black slave owners that were free black men that come over here, free men that were rich, that most of them owned black slaves.
Hey, Ricky, I've heard this down. About, Ricky, give me a second here. I've
no,
heard
I
this about,
no,
hold on, I've heard this uttered a million times. What is the fact that there were black slave owners in 16 whatever or 17 or whatever? What does that have to do with the racism and the bigotry and the oppression that happened in the late 1800s and really throughout the 1900s as well? What difference does that make?
It makes all the difference in the world.
No, it doesn't make a bit of difference.
Everything.
Does that excuse what the Klan did in the 60s? Are you out of your mind?
Absolutely not. No, I'm not out of my mind.
Does that just make you feel better to be able to repeat that there were black slave owners? I mean, is that the talking point that gives you some degree of excitement?
No, brother. No, it does not. I'm a Christian.
I don't care what you are. I'm just trying to have a conversation with you, okay?
It's not being deceived by leftists and criminals that have taken over our country.
I mean, I'm the president of the United States is a Republican. The Senate is controlled by Republicans. The Supreme Court is controlled by Republicans. Exactly who are you talking about here, sir?
I'm talking about the Marxist left communists that came in our country and is taking it over, took our colleges over, kicked our Bible out, made it illegal to pray at school with football. That's what it's all about. It's a demonic movement that has taken over our country and has stopped you from even watching.
And would you mind, because I'm really interested in this, would you mind letting me know who is behind this demonic movement?
Yeah, his name is Lucifer.
What's that, Ricky?
And all his children, the demonic people, are destroying.
No, Ricky, I'm asking you. Can you give me some names? I mean, who are the leaders of this demonic movement?
Bill Gates, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Obama, all of them that are Marxists working for Saul Alinsky and the radical left that are the 1% that own our sick company that rule our world, that have bankrupted our country, and now they're making us all go.
Hey, Ricky, do you understand the capitalistic society that we live in? Do you realize that Bill Gates, he may have been one of the founders with Paul Allen of Microsoft, but it's a public company, just like Apple is, just like all these other companies that you're talking about. Public companies traded on the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ. You get all that, don't you?
Hey, Paul, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how about that, Paul? How about the Bible, Paul? See, I don't allow no truth on here. That's why you're in the dark. That's why you're sitting there behind the desk wondering about, well, they going to give us permission? I got news for you. A virus don't cancel the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. It does not do it, and these criminals are taking our country down, and they don't even have the legal right to do it. They don't have the legal right to tell me when to go to bed and when not to go to bed or when to think of what.
I really think you need to be calling the Attorney General, Bill Barr. I'm sure he'd take your call if there was a threat to the nation's well-being.
Are you a Baphomet, Paul? Are you with the Baphomets?
Am I
what? With the deep dark state? Are you with them, Paul? Because you used to sound like a conservative. Now you sound like a hard left liberal because
I'm not anything. I'm just trying to understand. I mean, I'm just trying to explain the way things are to you. I mean, Barack Obama he hasn't been president in almost 4 years.
All I'm trying to tell you is there's a deep dark Marxists that are taking over our country. And if you can't see that, Paul, if people don't wake up to this, we're at war with the deep state. And people better wake up to it. If they want their football back, all they got to do is go play. They don't have nobody has the right to tell people what they can do and when they can do it.
No, I hate to break it to you, but you are wrong about that, my friend. Yes, you just can't do what you want to do. There are guidelines in this country. There are laws. The restrictions that are made at the county, city, state, and federal level.
So you voted for Obama and them. Yeah, I get it now, Paul. I get it. You're part of the cover-up. You're part of the problem. That's why you're part of the ESPN Baphomets who run ESPN that took away and bring us faggots in football and all this other queer crap.
Okay, I think at some point this conversation needs to end, and I think it just did. Matt is up next in San Antonio, Texas. So hello, Matt.
Hello, Paul. Great, another nut job on the show, Paul. How you doing today, my friend?
Matt, I'm concerned about the future of the country after that call.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Like I said, I'm not trying to get myself in trouble, but not a nut job like usual. But, Paul, I want to talk to you about the upcoming college football season.
Okay, that would be a nice relief to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And the upcoming college football season, two things I want to talk to you about Texas A&M. But first, the upcoming college football season. Paul, I don't blame you. I don't think this college football season is probably going to happen because, one, you have to worry about the safety of the players, and two, I don't blame the parents for being concerned. I mean, you have to look from a holistic standpoint. They're not telling us the truth whether or not college football is going to happen, and you can't blame them. With all the virus going on, they can't tell us the truth if it's going to happen for sure. And that's just being honest right there, Paul.
Well, I agree with you on that, Matt. I mean, I know what everybody is saying, but right now we haven't even started yet. I mean, this is a preamble. What's going on right now?
No, I don't blame you on that one, Paul. And the other thing I want to talk to you about the upcoming football season with Texas A&M, I believe we're going to have a good year, but that's up to debate too. Is we're going to have a college football season or not?
And well, that is true, Matt. That's 100% true. I hope we do. I hope I get to sit next to Ricky from Mobile at the first game. We're going to head to a break. Some debate whether I'll be back here after the break, but I hope you are. We'll be right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back. And right now at the State House in Jackson, Mississippi, the state legislature coming back into session possibly today, tomorrow, sometime this weekend, having another vote about taking down that state flag. As you saw yesterday, so many wonderful people from eight different colleges represented asking the legislature to do what the SEC and the NCAA and so many other people have already done. Our next guest was there yesterday. She is the outstanding women's basketball coach at Mississippi, and Coach Oleta McPhee-McEwen joins us. So, Coach, thank you so much. I know you're having a lot of success in recruiting, and everything seems to be going really well, but appreciate you being on, and I can't wait to hear about yesterday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you so much. This is certainly, Coach, not a new issue. It's been going. We've been talking about this forever. But describe what it was like yesterday with so many of your colleagues, not only from Ole Miss but from around the state, all joining together.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, it was an incredible experience. Just to be able to use our voice in that manner, and I thought just having all of the universities represented there. It was just a powerful moment, just to be there, speak with the legislators, meet with the lieutenant governor, ask questions about this whole deal, because I've been seeing, just like everybody else, stuff on social media, and why can't we just change it tomorrow? And so being able to get answers to those and just have a united front, it was incredible.
Coach, I think my next question would be better to put to the Speaker of the House or representatives in that chamber, because I can't understand why the governor just can't go outside and take that flag down. But I'm sure you have a more educated guess after having spoken to people yesterday. Tell us what you heard.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like you. So what happened was the whole flag, being able to bring something to the table and have it change, that happened months ago, and so in the House. So what they're trying to do today is get a certain percentage of votes to be able to even go back and open up the discussion again. And so that time has passed, I guess, to change rules and change certain things. And so that is why we went down there, because they're getting ready to make a legislative vote. And so if they have to get that percentage to even be able to put it on the table to discuss it, if we do get the number of votes, the percentage that we need to get, I think you need like 19 Republican votes, 16 Democratic votes, two-thirds of the vote. If you get two-thirds of the vote, then we feel pretty confident that we can get this thing done. But that is the holdup with everything, just getting two-thirds of the vote to be able to even put it on the table to discuss it, or we have to wait until January.
Coach, I'm really interested. Did anyone look you and your colleagues in the eye and say why he or she wouldn't vote to try to bring this thing to a conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that was the question I had, because I just find it hard-pressed to believe, no matter what side politically people are on, that people won't see this as the right thing to do, especially now in the climate that we're in. But what I got back from it, without it being verbatim, this is just my summary, is a lot of the people in that have a legislative vote have made promises to people to allow the people to make a vote and not just go ahead and mandate any type of vote on issues. So when they got elected and they want to keep their word. And then I think that there's a small percentage of people that feel strongly that the flag is not something that is racist, and looked at it as more so heritage and, you know, their grandfathers and great grandfathers and that kind of stuff. And our point when we went down there basically was to say, regardless of your opinion, this or my opinion, we need to make this state our Mississippi. And right now it's not. It's divisive. And I think a lot of people that empower want to make the change, but there's a hesitation on, you know, going against their word, I guess.
I know you have been recruiting exceptionally well. Your recruiting class recently is considered among the best in the country. So my next question is interesting, because you would think all of this conversation, you know, may have a deleterious effect on you and your colleagues. But talk about what it's like when you are trying to recruit young women to your campus.
Yeah, you know, I use the term, the phrase often, don't tell me what you heard, tell me what you saw. Because here's what I know, just being in Oxford, this is just a wonderful place. I mean, the people are inviting, they love everything Ole Miss. I hadn't had any experiences of racism or any type of things that made me uncomfortable here. But I understand that I'm possibly in a bubble too, because I'm in athletics, and I do know that I'm black, and I have experienced, you know, prejudice and that kind of stuff, just not in Oxford, and I thank God for it. But, you know, we are always front-ended with that question. A lot of people use it against us in recruiting, and a lot of kids just want to know, is it safe? But the reason why we've been able to sign and get commitments from the players that we've gotten is because when they come on campus, and when they go down to the square and they're around town, they see that this place that was described as this monstrous place is not that, you know. Obviously, the issue of racial inequality and social injustice, this is worldwide. This is domestic wide. And so right now we're just getting a lot of attention because, unfortunately, we have this symbol that is not inviting for everybody. It's not a symbol that is inclusive for everybody. But when they come, they just love the experience. Obviously, my staff and I have worked extremely hard to develop relationships with them, and they want to come and be a part of the change and be a part of history.
Coach, I want to end by talking to you a little bit about your own experiences and also your communication through social media and others with your friends and followers, because you're not shy, and I'm sure that I'm sure your players appreciate. They already knew that, by the way, but you're talking about some very serious things on social media.
Yeah.
I think tell us about that.
I just think that I have a platform. I do think about what I'm posting and what I'm saying, but I think right is right and wrong is wrong, you know, and I want to be for the narrative, and I know our administration is, our chancellor, our AD, Keith and Chancellor Boyce, we're all about diversity and inclusion, and that's important. And for me not to speak on these topics and talk about from my own personal experiences the pain that I felt by watching, you know, the 8 minutes and 48 seconds of George Floyd and that opening up, you know, wounds of past experiences. I wouldn't be who I am. I think people appreciate the fact that I'm pretty transparent on my social media, and they can respect it. And I think that's where I get the nod. Like, you don't have to agree with me all the time, but you have to respect me and respect my thoughts. And one thing I'm good at, pretty good at, Paul, is I know how to block pretty quickly. So if anything's crazy on there, I just hit the block or the mute button. But for the most part, you know, it's been pretty healthy, as expected.
Well, my hat, and I think all of our hats are off to what you and your colleagues did yesterday, and we're all eager and anxious, waiting to hear what those people have to say. And thank you so much for making time, and all the best, and I hope you'll come back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Coach. Coach Yeo from Ole Miss, really a great conversation there, and we have many more guests to come as we continue here on a Friday afternoon. We'll talk to you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here. Let's check out Kevin in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul, and thank you again for letting me visit with you.
Thank you.
Communists under the bed, Paul. Have you looked under your bed recently?
I just got out a shotgun to check.
All right, man. Well, listen, had a little time last night and did a little research and typed in Confederate flag and Wikipedia. And they stopped at 40 Confederate flags. When the war started in Mississippi, and the Mississippi legislature voted to secede from the Union, they walked out, took down the American flag, and put up a flag that was called the Bonnie Blue Flag. It was blue with a white star in the middle. That is interesting because it's the first flag of the state of Mississippi after they seceded. The flag was taken up by a Mississippi regiment in the Civil War. So I don't think that would work as a replacement. But to caboose something on that, I went on and looked at the other flags, and they were, you know, basically units. Obviously, the most popular flag after the war was the Confederate flag of Robert E. Lee, Army of Northern Virginia. And that's the one that's called in question all the time. But there was one in there. It was a South Carolina flag, and the flag had a crescent moon and a palmetto tree, or excuse me, a palm tree on it. Now, I think I remember at the University of South Carolina that that symbol is on about the 25-yard line diagonally on both sides of the field, opposite diagonally of the SEC moniker on both sides of the field facing the stands. That flag, I know I've seen it in the University of South Carolina home games. I can't remember if I've seen it at Clemson home games. Do you remember seeing that crescent moon and the palm tree?
I must have an aversion to Confederate flag symbols. Taryn is up next in Illinois. Hey, Taryn, thanks. Great to have you on.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Hey, I'm just want to tell Ricky down there in Mobile, Alabama, that he's keeping racism alive, and that he I hope he ain't got no grandchildren so he can teach them that, because I don't think racism is going anywhere right now after listening to Ricky and his left wing.
One of the people he mentioned, I think Saul Alinsky, has been dead for 48 years, but, you know, why let facts get in the way of a good conspiracy theory? Thanks for the call. Mac is in Mississippi. Hey, Mac.
Hey, Paul.
Thanks for the call.
Hello?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Oh, good. I've been waiting so long. I got a couple of things for you. Tell me that guy you had on the first part of the show, raving and ranting that no, didn't know anything, that he wasn't from Mississippi.
He wasn't far. He was calling from Mobile, Alabama, which, as you know, is not too far from the Mississippi border.
Thanks. Well, I'm a 78-year-old resident of Mississippi lifetime, and I want to talk about the flag, and I think it's going to pass. It was soundly defeated 21 years ago, but I think, and the reason I'm for it is, one of the reasons is that it's going to be such an economic burden. They have dropped the hammer on our schools, and that's very important. Even though it's basketball, baseball, things like that, but baseball is big in the three.
Mississippi needs baseball tournaments, so that's a big deal.
We do, and anything else that comes to bring them to Oxford or Starkville or Hattiesburg, that would help out a lot. And
I think it's going to pass. I really do. It's, even if it goes to a vote. But these politicians, as all politicians, in my opinion, the only thing they care about is getting reelected.
Sure. No, I mean, I think because of the environment today, if there's a politician in Mississippi that will vote against this, I cannot wait to hear the explanation. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Let's check in with Dan in North Carolina. Hello, Dan.
Yes, sir. I'd like to thanks for taking my call, but I'd like to read a poem that has some meaning to me, and it's about Martin Luther King Jr. Doesn't explicitly mention him, but it's by Carl Wendell Hines Jr., and it's called A Dead Man's Dream. And if you'll indulge me, I'll read it here.
Sure, go right ahead.
Now that he is safely dead, let us praise him. Build monuments to his glory. Sing hosannas to his name. Dead men make such convenient heroes, for they cannot rise to challenge the images that we might fashion from their lives. It is easier to build monuments than to build a better world. So now that he is safely dead, we, with eased consciences, will teach our children that he was a great man, knowing that the cause for which he lived is still a cause, and the dream for which he died is still a dream, a dead man's dream.
Thank you, Dan. That's an extraordinary poem. Really do appreciate that. What an amazing first hour with Coach Yeo and so many others. We have so many guests to come as we work our way through the next 3 hours. We always encourage you to give us a ring, 855-242-7285. Much more as we continue here on a Friday afternoon.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.